Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is the gospel lesson, especially the last verse. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And there is in that verse one word that stands out for me this morning, and that is the word flesh. And the Word became flesh. And she brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And the Word became flesh. And this does not mean simply that God took on corporeality so that you could touch him. He took on flesh. And not just flesh, but this flesh. This shared human flesh. And she brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger. And so he comes to be in our poverty and in our lostness, our Savior, right from the beginning. And there is something of the in-your-face-ness about this. And the Word became flesh. See, it might be easier to deal with God if you would stay where he is supposed to be up in heaven. You know the old saying, God is in his heaven and all is well with the world. But he insists. Coming into the world, born there in the manger with shepherds and livestock, and then keeping company with sinners and preaching in the synagogues and making demands that the disciples and the Jewish leaders and the people in his day and all mankind in our day are not entirely comfortable with. And the Word became flesh. It's a wonderful idea to think about being spiritual, ascending to God where he is, as if he would stay where he belongs and we could approach him on our terms, putting together our best spiritual behavior and attitude and then come to him. But we can't do it. He has to come to us where we are. And the Word became flesh with all that means. In him you see the heart of God, Hebrews chapter 1. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. And what is he like? Well, one thing is certain. Not what we would expect. And not what the chief priests and Pharisees expected. And not even what the angels expected. This coming of God into our world. He became flesh. Hunger and thirst and being nursed and kept warm. And we sing, stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. And he is the one who actually fell asleep in the boat out in the lake in the storm. He knows fatigue and tiredness. And then fasting and facing temptations. And he teaches us to pray, lead us not into temptation. And he is the one who knelt in the garden in prayer. And he is the one we turn to when we struggle. And in our struggle with faith and doubt and temptation, he is there to help. And he was there for the one thief on the cross, to pull him out of condemnation and being lost and bring him into paradise. He was there for the other thief on the cross too, but he didn't realize it. He just keeps coming, healing the lepers, eating with sinners, bringing forgiveness. And we remember those who came to him at table, weeping, anointing his feet. And then there is in the upper room, Jesus kneels down and washes his disciples' feet. And we know that he comes close and will call us his own. He claims us. Isaiah calls him a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and he stood outside of Lazarus' tomb, and the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. And we know that he is there in our sorrows, and we can turn to him in a way that we can only turn to him. Waking and sleeping and spending time in prayer, fatigue and feet that need washing. He is the intimate God, almost intrusive. Well, not almost. He is intrusive. It's more than having commands and demands from a righteous God who could be up there and tell us what is right and wrong. Have no other gods. Remember the Sabbath day. Love your neighbor as yourself. But no, here we have God in the flesh. God has come among you. He's one of us. So he can sit with the woman at the well and tell her everything she ever did. And tell Nicodemus at night in the garden how Nicodemus must be born again. He shares our nature so he can see and know and be right there even inside us. The psalm. Before there is a word on my tongue, O Lord, you know it all together. He keeps coming. He will be inside my soul, inside my heart, and he will change me. Not just change what I do, but change who I am right down to the roots, down to the deepest part of us. He makes us different. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that verse, by the way, reaches back and takes hold of Old Testament language and actually reads, the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. The tabernacle is the word for the Old Testament tent out in the wilderness where God dwelt with the people of Israel as they journeyed from Egypt to the promised land. And here we are back at Moses at Mount Sinai saying, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. And Solomon at the dedication of the temple, hearing God's promise, here is where you can find me. It's the place where no matter what happens, his name would be there. And that is what Jesus is. God dwelling among us so we can always know where to find him. Here in this child. To see him face to face and know that here is where we find God in his mercy. There's a saying among us Lutherans, that you do not seek God anywhere else than in this Jesus, this God in the flesh. Because that is the only place you can find God in his mercy. Apart from Jesus, there is only God in his holiness and raw divinity, his glory, his raw power. with a holiness that no human being could stand in the presence of. And if we tried, we would be destroyed. We need for God to bind His mercy to this flesh and to be Emmanuel. God with us, not just in appearance, but God with us in our very nature, because it is in this flesh and blood that God was born for you. It's in this flesh and blood that God suffered and rose for you. It's in this flesh and blood that He promises to return for you. It's with this flesh as our brother that He reigns in heaven, and it is the same flesh and blood that He sets before us today. Martin Luther said, "I want no other God than this hairy God. I want no other God than this God who truly is my brother, my flesh." Because there in the manger, I find all that I need. There in the manger, as Jesus is there, needing to be fed and clothed and changed and carried by His mother, there He takes hold of me in my helplessness. I want only this God who cares so much for me that He steps down out of heaven, lays aside the glory and power, makes Himself like me, and has designed the plan of salvation in such a way that it all comes together in His flesh. This is where God has put Himself. This is where He says, "Here you can find me with mercy for every need." And this is where we behold the glory of God that has become a glory that is not His raw glory and holiness that we could not stand before, but the glory that comes to us and brings glory to our nature and promises the glory to come. She brought forth her firstborn son and laid him in a manger. And so God comes into our world and into our lives. And the angels must sing, "Glory to God in the highest." Because now He has brought the glory from the highest and brought it to the manger. Because His glory is now among us and clothed in the mercy of the person of Jesus. The wise men must come to worship because God is among us. With mercy for all the nations, the shepherds must marvel because this baby is the one the angels sing about. This baby is the Lamb of God. And Peter must confess, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Because there is no other way to God. And Thomas must say, "My Lord and my God," because it must be personal. And we must sing His praises. And not only in this hour, not only on this day, but for all our lives and for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.